Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say, graphic designer.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And welcome back to our podcast, which has been on hiatus since...
We took a little break.
August 12th?
August 12th was our last one.
Oh, you've been busy, man.
Let me just catch my breath here.
I don't remember how this works.
You don't?
No.
No, so it's been a couple of months since the last one. But we had all kinds of things that we were doing.
Yeah, you got...
I got hitched.
You got hitched,
baby.
Man.
I finally got the marrieds.
Congratulations.
I took the vows.
And best wishes.
Got my nuptials on.
Did you get your nuptials on?
I got my nuptials on.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, man. September 10th. Mm. We did the big wedding thing. It wasn't big. It was small. It was nice. Perfect wedding, I think, if I may say so myself. I thought it was fantastic. The weather was perfect outside. We did our ceremony at the Beaverbrook Association, which is a nature park, right in the garden, so we didn't worry about decorating anything. Everything was in bloom. We stood like right in front of the arbor that they have. Our very own David Say actually spoke during the wedding. He wrote a very nice little thing that was fantastic and funny, as well as our friend Jen O'Callaghan.
Who did an amazing presentation
that was all based around movie quotes, which was ingenious. And yeah, so it was really nice, and it was quick, and Sarah was just, she looked like an absolute adorable little doll. She was so cute. And then for the reception, we went over to Studio 99, and we had Java Loce and Amy Petty and Ian Ethan Case came, and everybody hung out and played music and ate and had very good food and very good cake and very good guacamole, and it was awesome. It was awesome. And I cried the entire time.
Yeah, your eyes were constantly red.
Yes, the minute my face, I'm looking at the pictures that people were taking on their like point and shoots and stuff. My face is pink the entire time.
It is.
Yeah, it's just ridiculously pink. It was like the minute we walked over, the minute the ceremony started and we came walking down the thing, like I started to cry. And it was like that for the rest of the day. Like it was just nonstop. And then Amy Petty got up and she sang this Sarah's favorite song, and I was standing behind Sarah. Just bawling into the back of her
tears
hair.
Tears came
to my eyes. It was really embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
No, it was good. Yep. Everybody knew there was a reason for it.
Then you went and danced.
And then, our buddy Brian Thomas, because Amy was like, do you want to dance during, because I asked her to perform this song specifically for Sarah, because it was her favorite song. It's Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. Mm-hmm. And she goes, is this going to be your dance song? And I was like, no, we don't want to do the dance thing. Like,
why
neither
not?
We just didn't want to do it. That's why there was no dancing there.
So you were coerced into it.
So we were out in the hallway talking to Amy and Amy's husband, Billy, and I heard Brian get on the microphone, and he was just like, where are the bride and the groom? And we poked our head through the door, and he was just like, he completely transformed, and he was like super boss guy. And he was like pointing at us, and he was like, you, dance now. And we're like, we're not going to dance. And he's like, shut the fuck up, get over here and dance.
Yes.
And so we ended
good
up.
For him.
Yes. And the funny thing was that they're basically a jam band. So we played, it was like this 10 minute like jam, like they stretched out, oh my God, what was it? I'll be there? No. It was a Jackson 5 song. Yeah, I'll be there.
Yep.
And it went on and on and on and on. And like Sarah, and like everybody got a solo in it. Like everybody took us. And like, so like at one point, Sarah's looking at me. We thought everybody had gone. Like everybody did their solo. Yep. And Sarah's looking up at me and she's like, my feet hurt. And I'm like, I think we're just about done. And then our friend Miles, who had been like standing behind the piano as everybody was playing, he plays the saxophone. Like it looked like he was on like some sort of an elevator, and it lifted him up behind the piano. Like he came out of nowhere.
He had to lift you up,
and
too.
He was just like, boing, and he just started like heartfully laying into the sax, and we're like, oh, we're still dancing.
That was their gift to you, man.
It was an awesome gift. It was good.
Good
was
for Brian. For
yeah. Like, oh, he was so funny. In fact, Amy Petty had sent me an email like a couple of weeks afterwards. She was like, remember that time when you were out in the hallway talking to us? And then Brian was like, yo, get in here. He's like, surprise, surprise, secret surprise, dance surprise. And we were like, no. And he was like, shut up. Awesome.
That was awesome.
So it was really, really, it was really good. We had a lot of fun.
Yep.
And I think the most important thing for the two of us was that everybody that was involved in the wedding, from the Reverend Alana and Antwerpen that married us, to all the musicians, to the person that owned the venue that we had it in, all the bands, everybody was friends.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the most important thing, was just everybody knew, like it was just nice. And we didn't have to worry about that awkward thing about like, who invited the DJ and, who brought this band? Like, who were these people? Uh-huh. Everybody knew everybody. And I think that was probably the most special thing. And it was just people hanging out and eating food and listening to music. And
yeah, they were there for you, man.
It was very nice. I was very, yeah. It was very, very yeah. touching. And I'm glad we kept it at a, you know, I think we had about 60 people. Just, you know, our immediate friends, family. I thought it was really, really, my uncle yep. came up from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So it was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. And then we went on our honeymoon. We went up to Bar Harbor for the week.
Yep.
In Maine.
Yep.
And we had a little cottage, and we went to Acadia National Park many days. Tried to get a little exercise in.
How'd that go?
There was lots of ice cream suppers and
ice cream supper.
But it was nice. The whole week, just there was only one evening where it rained, and so we sat in and we watched the. They had a marathon of Castle. Nathan Fillion show.
You're all caught up on all your Castle.
I think they just, I guess, like the new season was getting ready, and so they were just trying to show you the most important ones from the last season or something like that. So I think we watched about eight or nine or something like that.
So probably the main storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
Which but is it the was, unrequited love between Castle God. And Beckett.
So that was that's what we did. But it was nice. So we just did that, and we brought the puppets up, and we did some top secret puppet things that we can't quite reveal yet.
Oh, that's not done yet. Okay,
and. No.
Probably shouldn't talk about it then.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the last big events at Studio 99 before they moved.
That was, and she moved. She That's moved. Right. They moved into a new location. They are at, they're on Factory Street now.
Yep.
It's 17 Factory Street? Something Factory
it's
Street.
It's right next to that.
It's next to the Cobbler.
Cobbler. There's a print shop next to it. Print Factory?
Is it Print Factory?
Something like that.
Beautiful, gorgeous new space.
Yeah.
It's where the old Drifters, which was a music venue, and currently it was a place called You'll Love It, which was a knitting store. New space is absolutely gorgeous. He's got one whole side is all just street window space, like floor to ceiling windows, the whole length of it. So like you can just look in and see the entire length of it. It's so awesome. Yeah. So I'm very happy about that. So we actually went to an open mic. Last Saturday, she had an open mic. It was like a three and a half hour open mic, and it was fantastic.
Awesome.
And so big thanks to Elise for providing the reception space. Yes. But the new space is really, really nice. So if anybody hasn't been to Studio 99 yet, even though we keep saying go, you really have to go now. Like it's such a nice space. It's like street level. There's parking right across the street.
Yep.
It's gorgeous. I'm excited. I mean, just based on the open mic that we went to, the amount of people that just came in because they walked by and they saw something going on. So it's exciting. It's exciting. Yeah, she's at this exciting
to a live event there yet.
It's very nice. It's very nice. Exciting. I'm just excited.
Mm.
Exciting. Mm. Yay! Yes.
Huh. So, but back to the old grind.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back into. I left like all kinds of little tiny things to do when I got back, and then I got this rush of stuff as soon as I got back. So now I'm trying to. It's good, but I'm trying to get catch up and stressed out and everything like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And but it's good. That's good. And what else is going on? I have the last workshop of the year is in the end of this month.
Oh, uh-huh.
The 22nd, which is actually over capacity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For the last one, I figured I had people that have taken the workshop before have emailed me asking if they could take it again, and if I would be willing to offer it at an alumni price.
Yep.
So I figured, all right, we'll do it for the last one. The last one of the year. You know, I'm not sure what's going on with next year, so. I opened it up to alumni, half off for the people that have already taken it.
Nice.
And within like 4 days, it was just completely filled. And then I actually have new students that want me to squeeze them in. So I'm at 11, and I might be at 12, and I think I need to stop it at 12 because that's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And this alumni price thing might be something to do.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. A lot of people were asking. So it'll be kind of cool. And then I figured since it's the last one. You know, there doesn't really have to be a time limit on it. So if we go a little later or something, that'll be pretty cool.
You have encountered price elasticity in the marketplace.
Well, this year I raised the price up $50.
Yep.
So it's $200 for, you know, an eight plus hour workshop.
Yep.
And this year seems
deal.
I think it's a very good deal. Comparatively, there are, you know, other day long workshops that are, you know, six times that amount.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm starting to hit that ceiling of people that are doing this as a business or people that want to get into a business of professional photography.
Yep.
For them, it is, there's no problem with the $200 that they can instantly write that up as professional development, and they can write it off on their taxes or whatever.
Yep.
For them, it's well worth the money.
Yep.
Where I'm starting to get the flack is from people that just sort of do it as a hobby, do it on the weekends. All of a sudden now they're like, well, $200 seems like an awful lot of money for, you know, like a day of photography.
Mm. Well, maybe you could split it into two things. So, like, there could be, like, an hour-long thing for, I don't know, $75.
Yeah.
Where you go over the thing, but then if you want the whole day, it's, you know, it's, you get to have to pay.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really bother me. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're, it's $200.
Yep.
You know, evaluate it as you want. If you think it's too much, then you don't take it. You take a workshop somewhere else, or you take a class somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking about how there might be some way of not making too much more work for yourself, but then having this be, you know, appeal to a broader market.
Yeah.
Which would bring in more money, which is always good, because that's where my head is these days. What is it they can do to...
Money.
One thing I did was I dropped the price of the Immersion Task Planner pads that I'm selling on Amazon.
Oh.
They were at $12.50 before, which was kind of an arbitrary price I picked about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
That's based on, you know, not losing money on the thing. But now I can order enough of them so that I can afford to drop the price a little bit. So I dropped it to $12.
Huh.
There's this book I've been starting to read called Persuasion, I think it's called. And there's these odd things about pricing. Like, if people see something that's priced at, like, something.99, they assume it's kind of a commodity.
Yeah.
As opposed to if it's, like, an even number.
Yeah.
If the number 9 is anywhere in the price, people tend to perceive it as a value.
Yep.
So if you sell something for $19 as opposed to $20, things like that.
98.
Or even if it was like $49 or 90, the number 9 for some reason has a correlation with people wanting to buy it.
Yeah. Well, 1999 is not 20.
Yep. Yep.
It's like you almost associate it with 15, sort of. At least I sort of do.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Like, well, it's not $20.
Yeah.
It's under $20.
And people also know that, you know, they're being, you know, kind of, you know, played to, right?
Yes.
But there's a psychology of pricing that's been very interesting to me lately. So we can say, well, what can I do to break things into chunks that will make sense?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, that's just me.
Nice.
Right now.
Nice.
But packaging, that's the thing that's on my mind these days. How do you make something that's, that people can understand and people feel that they are getting their value for.
Yep.
Yep. Something related. Oh, yeah, and making packages is freaking hard.
Is it?
Yeah, you know, I've been working on that. I told you I was working on trying to make this to-do list web app. So this is the first time I'm making a web app using JavaScript and PHP and stuff like that, even though I've dabbled with that stuff for the past 10 years.
Yep.
But to build something from scratch, it's like, I know what it's supposed to do. It's like, I know how a camera is supposed to work. Well, I think I do. You press a button, the picture comes out, right? But then you had to go a little bit deeper. Well, how does this affect that? Or I need this thing called a shutter. And, oh, if I have a shutter, I need something called film. And film is something, how does that work? And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then you discover, oh, I need something called a dark room. I didn't plan on that. And so everything just gets longer and longer and longer. Yeah.
Yes.
So we're at the 14 minute mark.
Very nice. We're just like back to the way it was before, which is good.
Yep.
I'm in the middle of backing everything up here. Today's a backup day at the studio.
Oh, exciting.
So I'm just trying to grab everything, drag it into my external hard drive while we talk.
Yep.
What else has been going on? I picked up a little game talk here. I picked up Gears of War 3.
Good.
Came out a couple of weeks ago, September 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I was never a big Gears of War 1 fan. I think I played first couple of 2 levels, and then I was like, meh, I put it down and never got back into it.
Uh-huh.
And then when 2 came out for some reason, I was like, oh, I'll give this another shot, see what it was. And 2 kind of sucked me in. Like, I was like,
interesting. Okay.
And then what really sucked me in 2 was they have this online multiplayer mode called Horde, which is you can team up with 5 other people. And there's 50 rounds, 50 waves, and then each wave gets progressively harder, and they just unleash these bad guys at you. And so you just have to go through, it's like an endurance thing. You just have to survive. And I, for some reason, I just really, you know, responded to that, which, you know, if you're a game developer and you're like, okay, so we're going to have this game mode where it's just, you know, like they spawn and they attack you and you kill them and then they spawn and like just the easiest thing in the world. And it became like the runaway, like everybody's favorite mode in the game. So it's like, you know, like the people making the campaign are probably like we don't even have to put a story in this. It's just, just like people marching at you and you shoot them.
I wonder if that was the thinking with that new id game that came out.
Rage or something like that.
So have you survived all 50 waves?
I have on the second one, on Gears 2. Uh-huh. So Gears of War 3 just came out, and it has, here's what they call Horde 2.0, which is the new version. And they just expanded it a little bit. The maps are a lot larger now, which is kind of nice.
Oh, okay.
And then in this, you earn, in between each level, your score translates into money. So you can earn money, and then there are things that you can upgrade on the maps themselves, like... there's like spikes that you can lay across certain areas so that like if the bad guys come by, they'll take damage by stepping on the spikes, but the spikes take damage over time.
Yep.
And then the more money you make, you can upgrade those. So it goes from like a spike to like a coiled barbed wire thing. And then the last thing you can upgrade those to is like a laser perimeter system.
Oh, where does the money come from?
It's as you kill enemies. Every time, it depends on like the type of enemy you killed. It depends on how you kill them.
You go through their wallets afterwards.
So, you just rack up. It's just it's instead of points, they translate it into credits for you.
Oh, okay.
And then there's other things like you can do these little like it starts with a cardboard cutout of somebody, so that they all sort of rush the cardboard cutout, and then you can upgrade them to like a mannequin and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny. Like it's so funny. I don't know. I just kind of dig it. So I've been playing that. And I got up to I think last Sunday I got up to wave like 35. Or something like that, and then it was getting really hard. but it's good. I'm very happy. The Horde mode alone is worth the price of admission.
That's cool. My friend Sean McIntosh likes playing Horde too.
Yes.
So like, she's like,
you know who I played Horde with? I play Horde with Kenta Koga.
No, is he good?
Kenta Koga. Him and Claire and Kenta's brother. They to play Horde. So in fact, we were playing over the weekend. Huh. Kenta Koga. Represent Kenta Koga. Woo! And so your buddy plays it.
My buddy plays it. So like she was curious about social media. So she's been wanting to learn more about that as part of her job as a marketing director. So we went to PodCamp Boston a couple weeks ago.
Yep,
just to check it out. And I didn't know that she was a huge Gears fan. You know, she has like, you know, two like 20-something-year-old kids. You know, like I know her husband from back in the day in modems and bulletin board systems.
Yay,
back
BBSs.
Before America Online existed and was called Quantum Link. So I've known them for a long time. And but I didn't know that she was a diehard Gears fan.
That's cool.
You know, so... So she's there and playing with all these 12-year-olds that are cursing. And she said she spoke once, like, because a bunch of teens were hassling some prepubescent kid whose voice hadn't broken yet. So it was going, and people were giving her a hard time.
And then they found out she was a woman.
Yeah, but she said, just leave him alone. And it just, like, freaked everybody out.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's a girl in here.
No, they said, it's like, my mom's in the room playing Gears with me and watching us play Gears. And then everyone just left. But it's awesome that, you know, she's playing that. Apparently she's good. She seemed competitive. I don't play it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to stay away. I'm not big into the competition. Like, I'm into it just because I like getting together with people that I know. So I like playing with Kent. Yeah, just like it's why I like playing with Kent or like when we play Halo, it's just fun because we're all just blabbing back and forth.
Yeah.
And we're playing in the meantime. And then sometimes, like, you know, like if we get these little kids that just don't shut up, we can all just sort of like verbally gang up on them and like make fun of them and stuff like that. Sometimes.
So it's
depends on what he's saying. There's some people that we've reacted to people that are just really mean. Like they just say nasty stuff.
Yeah.
And so we'll try to ride them or joke around with them a little bit or something. Uh-huh. Or if somebody's got, you know, like some sort of racist comment, then we'll turn around and pretend we're that. That group of people and be like, why do you say that about us? What's wrong with you? Like, what's that's not nice. That's good. That's why you need to get like start playing Halo with us and stuff. It's fun. Or Gears is great because you're just taking on this Horde thing, and so you can chat while you're doing it. And then
I should try it out sometime. I'll come over sometime and see if I like it. Or not. I haven't really been into that many games these days. I again canceled my Star Trek Online subscription. Yeah, but it was getting kind of because I had experienced the end game, and there actually is no end game in Star Trek Online because they've been just sort of bootstrapping this all the entire time. So the last frontier was like the role playing fleets. The role playing fleets are they're not just playing this game; they are the game. So it's like they're recreating, like, remember when Deep Space Nine, when blah, 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 I got the uniform and I got this. And some of them are quite sophisticated about it. They know all the history and, like, they've carefully crafted a character and stuff like this. So I was lurking on, like, the Star Trek Online role-playing channel. They have an in-game IRC type thing, right? Like most MMORPGs do.
Yeah.
And I was just curious, like, what the differences were. So, like, my character got recruited by one, so I tried that out for a while. And it ended up being kind of interesting because it was a socialization situation. And a lot of the same kind of things in real life applied. Because I'm kind of shy when I meet new people.
Yeah.
And the same kind of thing was here. Well, what do they expect me to do? I don't want to screw up this simulation that they're running, right? But I found it ended up being more stressful. Just as stressful, if not more stressful, because there was a continuity on these storylines I had to keep track of that were being made up on the fly.
Is that the group that you were just in? Is it the weird group?
Yeah.
They were getting a little weird?
There's this thing called ERP, which is like RP is role-playing. ERP is erotic role-playing. And, you know, that was a little bit too much for me. Uh-huh. And so I wrote my character out of their storyline and then quit the game.
Ew.
But they're about to go. Star Trek Online is about to go free to play. So they've been making a lot of changes to that, and they've been acquired from Atari by another company.
Oh, really?
Called Perfect World, which is a Chinese MMORPG company. China and Asia is really big into making these massively multiplayer online games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There might be some interesting changes there.
What happened to that game that you went out to California to help work on?
Firefall?
That's
getting close to coming out.
Is it?
It's getting some good press.
Are we going to see it again at PAX this year?
Apparently it dominated PAX. It was like the PAX-Firefall show from what I've seen. But apparently they kept buying giant statues and putting like their logo in all the bags and stuff like that.
So
to get the word out.
Yep.
They should be going... they should be open like... December or something like that.
Really?
But there's a lot of people saying that are excited about it because it's a massively it has RPG elements, but at heart it's a shooter. Massively online, massively.
Yeah, it's a third person, like over the shoulder kind
of. Third person over the shoulder. So imagine like, you know, like Gears of War.
It's like Gears of War.
Yeah, so it's that kind of thing, but there's a lot of like upgrades and persistence in your characters and customization.
Huh.
And it's going to be free to play.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. So I'm excited to see how that goes. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. What else has been going on? How much time do we have?
We've got about 2 minutes left.
2 minutes. I have upcoming shows. I had a show that's sort of I haven't been talking about because I've been trying to like figure out if I'm in it or not.
Oh.
But it's actually going to be up. It's called Toy Story, and it's going to be at the Rockland Center of Art in Nyack, New York.
Nyack,
New York.
Is it Nyack or Nyack? I never knew.
It's somebody. Well, we just had dinner at Sarah's parents, and her sister-in-law called it Nyack.
Nyack.
Because I was like Nyack, 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 New York.
Nyack. Nyack.
So it's So the prints are getting sent out. They're all framed and everything. But the interesting thing is that a photographer that I idolize is actually going to be in the show. Her name is Lori Nix. LoriNix.com.
Like a Dr. Seuss animal, the Lori Nix.
Oh, I don't know. I never thought about that. Lori. No, I think it's just a regular name. I don't know. She's been around for, oh my gosh, I remember, you know, seeing tons of her stuff when I first started going to college.
Yeah.
She does, they're all miniatures. She sort of got really popular because she was making her own little miniature scenes.
Oh, that's cool.
And like she did this awesome one and it was in the winter and there was snow all over the place and you see a car off the road and the back end of the car is coming up out of the ice.
Uh-huh.
And you see this deer standing in the middle of the road and you see the swerve marks and stuff. And it's this little tiny macro thing that she built. And then she does like these macro shots. So it looks like that's awesome. Cool. And she's done a whole bunch of stuff. And now she's got, you know, like a lot more advanced and she's actually building little tiny rooms. Oh my God, they're so amazing. Huh. So amazing. So I'm sure we'll put a link up.
But, that's cool.
So I get to actually be in that show. So that was sort of like I finally jumped because I didn't know she was going to be in it until recently. And I was like, ooh. So, and unfortunately, I don't think I can make any opening because it's like Nyack is like 4 hours away, and the opening is
not that far.
That's a long drive. That'd be a whole day of driving.
It's not like you have work on Monday.
Yeah, I do.
Where? Do you have like a job here? You have to go to?
Yeah, this is my job.
You could take the job on the road. That's the whole point of it, man. You get out there, you drive 4 hours, you bring your camera, you take some pictures, you meet some people. Dude, I mean, that's, if there's any reason to be self-employed, this is
we will see.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm just saying.
Isn't really anything I can expense at the moment.
You can expense the entire trip.
I don't really have any. No.
It's miles. You note log the miles. It's got to be 400 miles or something like that, times 89 cents or whatever it's up to these days. Huh. And then you get to deduct that from your income, and then you don't pay taxes
what
on it.
What income?
You have studio income. You've got stuff like that. You could get it to the point where maybe you don't owe taxes if you expense smartly.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. I haven't thought about much. But the prints are going up hopefully this weekend. And then I have another one. I'm actually going up to meet with the person that runs this other gallery. I have a show in February in Boston at the NG Gallery.
Nice.
And we haven't come up with a name yet, but hopefully it'll be a little more clear tomorrow after I have this meeting and stuff. I'm bringing up an example. It's going to be the toys, my new toy stuff, the black and white. The toy stuff I've been doing, like the
toy stuff.
Yeah, well, the shot of the girl over there on the wall and kneeling down.
Oh,
the black and white stuff, because nobody's seen that. Like nobody's really seen it. Like I haven't shown it anywhere.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So hopefully I can get a couple of new pieces done for that and print them out at a nice size. And
oh, cool.
It'll be nice. So that's gonna be in Boston, and I think it's down in the SOA Arts District down in Boston, which is like this newer arts thing that's sort of building up
south of Washington Street,
something
like that.
Yeah,
I think I've
Western
been there
once.
It's right by the bridge, I think.
So that'll be kind of nice. At the end of this year and the beginning of next year, it'll sort of be more quote unquote fine art related
stuff,
which will be kind of cool because I haven't done anything. I've been working on the toy stuff, but I just haven't had a chance to really push it or anything.
Oh yeah, that's great.
So that'll be kind of cool. And I guess this show in New York in a couple of weeks, I guess there's actually a reviewer from the New York Times is going to go out and see it.
Hmm.
So that's kind of exciting.
It is
exciting. So that's been about it. It's that and just the wedding, really. I'm just trying to recover from the wedding thing. We're going this weekend, actually, that we're having our official wedding portraits done.
Oh, good.
He's doing 20 by 24 inch tin types. Mm-hmm. So we found this really, 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 really good photographer who does wet plate and tin type photography, like Civil War era, like the late 1800s, 1860. Mm-hmm. So he's got this giant camera, and we're going to do some really nice tin type photography and wet plate photography that looks like it was done in the Civil
That's
War.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
So awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the weather looking good this weekend?
It's supposed to be gorgeous, hopefully. Great. Keep your fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Going on? That's about it. The Manchester TEDx event is next weekend. And I'm actually going to be going with a fellow colleague, Matthew Lamano, and photographing the event.
Is that this weekend?
Next weekend.
Next weekend.
October 15th.
Oh, cool.
Which actually probably means I can't go to the opening because the opening for that thing in New York is on the 16th.
Ah, so that's all
figured
out.
Probably not going to work out.
Oh,
but,
well.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So we're trying to figure out how that whole thing is going to work, and they've been sending out special invites. I guess it's limited to 100 invites for the event itself, and
right.
It's the first time it's in the area, so I'm curious to see sort of how it works and what the overall result will be and interest, like how the interest is building and if there's any interest building.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see because it's the invitation only thing is a much different model than the community stuff that we tend to be involved with.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to start a miniature art school. Did I tell you this?
No.
So we can talk about that next time.
Yeah. We can see. We got to catch up too. So maybe we can do a couple.
Miniature art school.
Miniature art school.
With miniature certificates and miniature diplomas.
Can we have miniature teachers?
Miniature teachers.
Like
teaching
dwarfs?
Miniature lessons.
Like
so yes! we could relaunch the jellies with this if we find a good space.
Interesting.
So I'm thinking about like make it kind of like you divide the day up into periods and then maybe you pay $5 for the day and 10 of the periods you want. And you might learn one tip.
Huh.
One trick, like this is how you mask something in Photoshop, or this is how you layout type in Illustrator,
that's
or stuff like that. So you know, engageable, and then people can hang around and work.
Huh?
That might make it work.
Yeah,
make it worthwhile for whoever has the venue.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and then you can make the miniature diplomas, which is what I'm saying.
That's
about.
All you want to do.
Yeah, the business card diplomas. You can collect all of them. Collect all 12.
Oh my lord.
They could be letterpress. I guess that's the show. This is Dave Say, graphic designer.
And I'm photographer Sid Caesar. And we'll see you next time. Ba, 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 ba. And a special thank you to Michael Bellar and the Azzez Ensemble for their wonderful intro and outro music. Visit him at michaelbellar.com and give him your love. Yeah. episode 28. Thank you very much for listening. Rock on.